Welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. He is Jeff Fiegels. I'm
What's
Lance
up?
Meadow. Good to be with all of you for the next hour, 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get into the Giants-Eagles matchup this Sunday. Philadelphia will have a new quarterback, Nick Foles, replacing the injured Carson Wentz. We'll also go over some news and notes from the team's perspective. Yesterday, Kevin Abrams, the new interim general manager, spoke to the media for the first time. He had a few interesting things to say, and another player was put on injured reserve, which has unfortunately been a theme for the Giants. We'll get to your phone calls. We'll get to your tweets. Jeff, let's start on the injury front. I don't think it was much of a surprise yesterday, but Steve Spagnuolo confirmed Justin Pugh, who is now going to be shut down for the season. He's on injured reserve. Tried to play through that back injury. Couldn't get through it. Got a second opinion. They ultimately decided the best thing was to shut him down. And that's the third starting offensive lineman to go on IR. Weston Richburg and DJ Fluker, the other two this season.
Yeah, no, I listen. I think you got to take your hat off to Justin Pugh, who kept going back and forth from tackle to guard, and he tried to play through a lot of that pain. And as a teammate, if you're one of his teammates, you got to like that. And from an organizational standpoint, you always have to be very, you know, proud of a guy that just struggles through, because this game is tough. And you know, one thing about the back, whether it's in any position, especially an offensive lineman, I mean, that's a tough thing to work through. And you know, your back just doesn't let you do things that you want to do when it's bothering you. So, you got to commend them for doing that. But yeah, I mean, when you look at that, the five starting offensive linemen and three of them have gone on IR, not to mention how this offensive line has produced the whole season. It's just been a complete nightmare when you come out and say it. But, so, you know, but right now he's going to be a free agent. I think that the Giants will have to look at that situation and see what his health is going forward. Good news about it, Lance, is he doesn't have to have surgery. That's a big
one.
Yeah,
that is huge.
And, you know, anytime it's got to be his back's bothering him, but really what's possibly bothering him is that, you know, you come out in the draft, you sign a 5-year contract, and you go through the whole contract, and then you're going to go into free agency. Now he's going to be heading into free agency with a back problem. You know, that hopefully that doesn't shy some teams away. But I will tell you this, if the Giants don't re-sign him, he will get a good look at some other teams, because he's very versatile and, you know, somewhat reliable. He does get hurt. I'm not going to say a lot. But, you know, he typically is banged up a little bit, but a lot of the offensive linemen are. But, you know, that's just kind of what it's when you're a free agent and you're hurt, it doesn't feel good. Trust me.
But his versatility, like you said, is going to be appealing to so many teams, because you could put him at tackle, you could play him at guard in case you suffer an injury on your O-line. Teams are going to value that. And, you know, we talk about this every single offseason. We talked about this with Giants fans this offseason. Offensive linemen who are that versatile are so far and few that even if you do have an injury history, there's still going to be a desire to want to sign you. And I think you brought up an interesting point, Jeff, and that was what I was going to hit on, because, you know, this is something I think the Giants need to weigh, even though he is versatile. He has not played 16 games since 2013, which was his rookie year. He then played 14 and 15, 11 last year. He suffered the knee injury, so he missed part of the middle of the season. And then this year, ultimately, he's going to end up with 8 games.
So 16, 14, 11, 8.
The numbers have progressively gone down. It's something that you at least need to take into consideration.
Well, every team will take that into consideration. Yeah. I mean, that's just what they're going to have to look at. And, you know, it's something that when you're going to throw a lot of money at a player, you have to be sure that money is going to be well spent, especially with the cap. And what your intent is as far as your depth. You want to make sure that this guy's reliable when you're paying him. I mean, I got to think that, you know, he's going to be in the $7-8 million a year range for you know, a player like that. So you want to be sure. Unfortunately, the injury bug is going to have a little hindrance on what happens with him.
And it's unpredictable. I mean, sometimes you feel a guy did everything in the offseason to prove his durability, and then freak accidents happen, which I'm sure the Giants can relate to based on what happened this
season.
And
unfortunately for Justin, you know, there isn't a period where you have a lot of time to show teams that you're healthy, because free agency starts so quickly. You know, March comes around and boom. So I think rest for the next 3 weeks and then, you know, the next couple months. But hopefully that'll be able to give him a good, clean bill of health for a team to look at him and evaluate if they want to sign him long term. Don't forget, the Giants could be that team, too.
So when you look at this entire offensive line right now, Eric Flowers and John Jerry are the only two who have played all and started all 13 games.
Well, I mean, and hats off to them for doing that. I mean, Eric Flowers, I think at the beginning of the year, it was all about Eric Flowers, the offensive line and Eric Flowers. I think that he has done what I think Jerry Reese thought he would do, and that's getting better. But I think all the rest of the position, when you talk about health, I mean, I think that DJ Fluker, if he could have began the season as that guard, I think there would have been a little bit of different as far as the production in the running game and things how it go. I just don't understand why that didn't happen. We never will. But the fact is that when he did come into the game and he started playing, you saw that offense.
Oh, that was a surge.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you saw when he left how it went down. I mean, they tried to keep it going back up. And when we talk about the offensive line going into this game against the Eagles, against that front, that's going to be some tough sledding. I mean, I was looking back at some of my notes for the first game. And at one point in time, the Giants didn't have very many rushing yards. Where was it?
Especially in that game. Week three game against the Eagles, the Giants barely ran the football.
And they barely ran the football, and Fletcher Cox went out of the game. I don't know exactly what quarter it was. It might have been in the fourth quarter, third quarter maybe. No. Where's my notes? Anyways, but he was out of the game for a little bit and didn't come back in. So, you know, they got a tough assignment, not to switch the game on you, but, you know, this game coming up for the Giants is going to be a tough one to win. And you know, certainly the Eagles are in a very peculiar spot because they lost Wentz. And, you know, you have a Nick Foles that's going to come in here now and hopefully be there. I don't want to say he's going to be the savior. He's just going to have to hold the team together offensively. But they have a great running game.
And they got and a lot of good defense around him. Correct.
And it's not like we don't know Nick Foles. I mean, he went to the Pro Bowl in 2013, so he's capable. That was a long time ago. But one thing that you have to understand too is that when you look at Frank Reich and Peterson, they're both backup quarterbacks. And so if there's somebody can get a backup quarterback ready to play from a mental standpoint, I think those guys can probably do it and relate to what they know about being in that position, which will be interesting. But I think that Nick Foles, it's not going to be much that you hold back as far as the playbook goes, because the guy can run all the plays, he can make all the throws. But really, when you can rely on a running game like the Eagles do, I mean, they've got three guys that, you know, I'd say I saw a stat. There's four guys that have over 250 yards rushing, Wentz being one of them, and the other three running backs, all four of them. So combined, all four of them have 1,000 yards. You know, I take that back, more than 1,000. But
Well, they spread the wealth amongst all their running backs. It's not one workhorse, even though you have LeGarrette Blount, you have Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement has had some flashes, to your point, Carson Wentz. They work those guys in and out, and they have not missed a beat because, you know, we always hear, oh, when you're not giving one running back all the carries, you're worried about momentum, you're worried about continuity, yet they have not suffered as a result of working a variety of different running backs into the mix.
No, and they're very consistent what they do. They're very good on third down. Their defense is exceptional on third down. And, you know, they just looking at some of my notes on their defense. I'm sure you guys have gone over some of the scouting stuff for the Eagles, but, you know, then it's my turn to talk about
them. Well, of course, they're just as effective on offense as they are on defense.
Unbelievable. I mean, their third down percentage is 30%. And defensively, that's third in the NFL. Their takeaways, they have 24 takeaways on defense, and that's third, it's tied for third in the National Football League. But the one you have to understand that when you look at the game plan behind this game, it's continue with the Giants trying to run the football. It's going to be tough to do against this team. They're only giving up 71 yards a game rushing the football. And then if you're the Giants team who try to run the football that don't do it very effectively, then what do? Then you guys try to go and pass against this defense, and you know, then there's going to be pressure, and so tough game plan for the Giants, as far as I am concerned, offensively.
Yeah, Eagles, they're pretty much top three in just about every meaningful statistical category, as you pointed out. And it goes without saying, the battle in the trenches is important, especially when the Giants are limited in terms of their weapons through the air. The problem is they are number two in rushing yards per game, the Eagles, 143. And then rushing defense, you mentioned they're number one. So you're going up against a team that thrives in running the football and thrives in stopping the run. And that goes back to the bigger point. You know, we could sit here and break down Nick Foles all we want, but no matter who is going to be under center, whether it be Carson Wentz or Nick Foles, the Giants still need to go in and say, we got to stop the run. Because if we don't stop the run, it makes no difference who the quarterback is.
And this Philly offense, they're big on big plays. They make big plays all over the place. But the thing about it is when you have a running game, their play action game is incredible because of that running game. Now, you know, that can only help Nick Foles, you know, because they're not going to ask him to throw the ball deep down the field. They're just going to ask him to give him some time and manage some good throws to some really good receivers. I mean, those receivers over there, I mean, all three of them are just studs.
All having great seasons. Let them do the heavy lifting. Plus, their top receiver, you could argue, is their tight end, Zach Ertz, who's now back from a concussion.
And they got a slew of tight ends over there. So
Trey, you know, Burden's done a nice job as well.
And it's you look at the way that that team was built. It all started with the drafting of Carson Wentz. Cleveland Browns wish they probably should have taken him. But
well, they wish they could have done a lot of different
things. I think that the trade for Ajayi was another one that – and then we went out and signed Blunt, who we all thought was going to get signed here in the offseason. At least I did.
There was chatter, at least.
There was chatter. But, you know, they run the ball effectively, and they don't have to do a lot throwing the football if you go up against a defense that's one of the worst in the National Football League, and that being the Giants. So it's just going to be a tough game for the Giants to win. You know, and it's also, where is the mindset of the Eagles now that they don't have Wentz and they've clinched the playoff spot?
But they haven't clinched home field, Jeff. Yeah, so that's, this game is still extremely important for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. You want to be able to get that home field advantage in that first round bye. That's your Christmas present right there. Home field advantage, first round bye, and then you only got to win two games to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so, I mean, this game is extremely important for them. Not that I don't think anybody thought that the Giants were going to be walking up against an opponent that was just going to feel as if they could cakewalk. They understand that this game, regardless of the struggles for the Giants, they need to take care of business because they don't want to be put in a position where all of a sudden the Vikings are knocking on the door, the Rams are still very much in the mix, the Saints, and then they miss out on a bye knowing that they're down their starting quarterback. But I think there's enough talent around Nick Foles that they could be in a far worse position with another young quarterback. They've got a veteran who has familiarity with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yep. When he was drafted in 2012, and a lot of people forget about this, Jeff, Andy Reid was the head coach. Doug Peterson is from the Andy Reid coaching tree. Yep. Because they were together in Kansas City. Nick Foles was briefly in KC. So he knows the nuts and bolts of this system that they're now
absolutely
running.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear people like, oh, well, you know, you're trying to throw a quarterback in that's not necessarily comfortable. That's not true. That's not necessarily
the case. He probably, to be truthful, knows the system better than Wentz does.
Because he's had more experience and more reps. Yeah. You're 100% right. Yeah. I mean, people are going to point to in 13, he had that unbelievable season, and you were talking about this when he had 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. I mean, the numbers are through the roof. He had an unbelievable amount of talent around him. That Chip Kelly system in that first year was a well-oiled machine. That was a different system, though.
Nobody had figured it out yet.
Correct, that he's now running. So, yeah, there were a lot of things that he needed to take into consideration, but when you put the amount of talent that Nick Foles has around him, I don't think it's asking for much for, yes, he's not as mobile as Carson Wentz, but for him to take care of the football and continue to run the offense, make manageable third downs, I think that's doable with what they're asking Nick Foles to do right now.
Yeah, man, I just think that, you know, you look at once they're in the playoffs, and I made a note going back to the Raiders last year with Derek Carr. Look what happened. They lost in the first round of the wild card game because now it's a playoff game, you know, you had a guy for the Raiders. I don't remember his name.
Matt McGloin, who didn't have nearly as much as experience as
Nick Foles. I think the Eagles are in a good position. I think they feel that's why they paid him. I think they're paying him close to $7-8 million, $11 million. I maybe I heard for a backup quarterback,
which is understandable.
And they went out and they did that because you never know. And guess what happens? It happened. So now their insurance, they're cashing in on their insurance policy. And here it is. Now Nick Foles is going to take him through the rest of the season. And I don't think that they'll have a problem with it. I hope they have a problem with it this week. So we'll have to see. I mean, the Giants, if we talk about injuries, I mean, these guys are – I saw an interview with Spags talking about practice yesterday, and this makes me happy. And this makes me thinking that, you know, maybe that Spags is getting through to some of the team here, the fact that these guys are going out with nothing to play for, and they're banged up. And like everyone knows at this point in the season, everybody is banged up around the National Football League. But being able to go out there and have a good practice and being able to be focused when you have nothing to play for and you're hurt, As many guys as went out on the practice field, and Coach Spags had said it, he was very proud and told them that. That means a lot to me. It would mean a lot to my teammates. It would mean a lot to the coaching staff, because it's very easy for guys to be a little bit more hurt than they are. Oh, you know, you go to the trainers, and this is really bothering me. I want to sit out of practice. Before you know it, collectively have 9 or 10 of those guys, you can't practice. So the motivation still has to be there, and I think that's one of the great reasons why the Giants promoted Spags to be the interim head coach, is because he has that type of experience with being a head coach.
Well, and to that point, Kevin Abrams, now interim general manager, who is the assistant under Jerry Reese, he was asked about Spags and the job he's been doing, and I want to read you a direct quote because it basically emphasizes, Jeff, what you just outlined. He said, quote, "Well, I think first and foremost, Spags has a really hard job now. He's doing it really well. His first 10 days on the job have been exceptional. His message to the team has been fantastic. The changes have been subtle, but they've had an impact, and I think the players are buying in. I think we had a bit of a blip coming out of the bye. I think where maybe it wasn't our best efforts, but I think that otherwise, I know our record doesn't show it, but our guys have played their tails off. Our preparation and efforts on Sunday, I think, have been great. I think they deserve more positive results than they've gotten. But two things I know, Spags is doing a lot during the stretch, and there's not a lot you can do, but he's getting everything out of this team
he can
right now. And I know the team has responded well even before last week, but especially now they are responding well," end quote.
Which kind of tells you why what happened, you know, a few weeks ago. It's because there was no response. There wasn't a lot of things going on around the organization and the players responding to Coach McAdoo. He's getting that out of these players now, because I will tell you, Spags is not a guy that a lot of people don't like. He's a good guy. He's a good coach to play for.
Player's coach.
He's personal. He's very tough on the guys. I'm in the meeting rooms, and I can say this because he was on the staff here when I won the Super Bowl. So I understand the way he is. And especially being a defensive coach, he used to, and punt team stood right next to me just like you when we were doing the punt stuff, and that's when we used to kick in the old bubble. And yes. There was a light that used to hang down, and it literally hung down about the 5-yard line. And Spags and I would have a running bet about hitting that light, because that ball would be going out of bounds. That's about the 5-yard line, and I would just pepper that light. He ultimately lost the bet.
That was your target, yes.
That was it. So, but yeah, I think that the players have responded to him, and that's a good thing. I think the organization likes what he's doing, and you know, they have a lot ahead of them. They have a lot of big decisions to make. When you talk about the GM, and you got, you know, Kevin Abrams is getting a little on the job training right now. Going from what he's done in the past. And I think that Kevin wants to be known as not just a cap guy,
yeah,
because that's really has been his role. And I think people know him as that, but I think people around the organization and around the league know him better than that. He did interview for the Lions GM job a while back, and the fact that Ernie Accorsi was part of that search party, if you will. And, you know, so I think he wants people to give him a chance at the general manager position. And he certainly is going to get an interview here. John Mayer has told him that. We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to read one more quote on exactly that point, because he was questioned about the fact that, well, most people look at you as more of a numbers guy, a cap guy.
This is not scripted, by the way.
Correct. No, it wasn't scripted. That was the exact question that one of the members of the media asked. So he didn't want to campaign for the general manager job. He said that he is extremely interested,
yeah,
as you would assume anybody would. But he didn't want to come off as he was campaigning for the job. However, this is what he did say. Quote, "My role has been more than just doing the cap. I wasn't raised to be a cap guy. It was just the opportunity that was given to me. I was grateful of the opportunity, and the Giants do a great job with everyone, not just me. But we're all encouraged to grow professionally, and like everyone else, I was getting a lot of opportunities to do that. I try to take advantage of them whenever I could, and a lot of that included being involved with our personnel departments," end quote. So, interestingly, I think a lot of people thought, well, maybe he was passionate about the salary cap, and he came over from the NFL, but he said that was the opportunity. So he took that opportunity, he ran with it. But, you know, one of the things he also mentioned was that Jerry Reese involved him heavily in the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
So the transition's been smooth to him because every time something came across Jerry's desk, he would include Kevin Abrams in. So it hasn't really been a rude awakening thing for
him. No, and I think that it's been a great learning experience for him because, you know, there are a lot of GMs out there that don't really get involved in the caponomics, if you will. They have guys that do that, you know, do the contracts.
They
and
have
do
a specialty guy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Kevin, even if he does get a GM job here or somewhere else, he has experience with that. So if he's most likely not going to do that, but the next person that will be doing that, at least he's lived it. He understands it. And not only that, on the flip side of it, because of the day-to-day operations that Jerry Reese was giving stuff for him to do and in the scouting department, his resume is there. He's ready. He's got the experience, and he's going to have he's going to be given the opportunity to interview, whether it's here or somewhere else or what have you. So I think that he is a guy that's ready to go, and we'll see what happens.
201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Twitter as well. Hashtag Giants Chat. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. Thanks so much for joining us for Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're going to open up the phone lines. Your feedback on latest team news as well as the Giants-Eagles game. Tony's in D.C. He gets us going. Tony, what's happening?
Hey, guys. I'll go through the news quick. Michael Irvin put it best. The team with the most points at the end of regulation wins the game, and we just don't score points. It just is what it is.
And it's been that way for the last couple years.
Yeah, being snake bit, man, I don't know what to say about that. We have been hurt these last 5 years, and I've called in about that. I don't know what we can do about these injuries. But, you know, we'll just have to regroup and do what we can next year.
Well, you know, if you look at last year, the injuries were down for the Giants last year, and that's part of the reason that they went 11-5, and they would be able to keep a team together and go to the playoffs. But anytime, no matter who you are, the Giants or, you know, whoever the other team is in the National Football League, if you have to start replacing players that are coming off your practice squad and having guys come off the street, literally like the Giants are, there's no way you're going to win football games. And even if, like you said, Michael Irvin says the guys with the most points wins, well, if you're only scoring on 16 or 17 points a game, that's not going to get it done in the National Football League. It's very difficult.
Well, and the numbers show that because, I mean, when you look at the Eagles and the Giants, if you put them up against one another, it's no surprise that the Eagles are atop the standings and the Giants are on the bottom. Case in point, points per game. The Eagles are first in the NFL. They're averaging 31 points per game. The Giants are 31st. They're averaging half of that, 15 points. They're also on opposite ends in time of possession. They're opposite ends in total offense. They're opposite ends in rushing offense. They're opposite ends in total defense. I mean, you've got the Eagles here. You've got the Giants there.
And they're opposite ends of the turnpike.
There you go. So everything comes full circle. But to your point, Tony, in terms of injuries, and I hear a lot of fans constantly raise this question, well, what can the team do to prevent that? And here's my response. Soft tissue injuries, I think, and Jeff, you could probably shed more light. Soft tissue injuries, I think you could do a little bit more to prevent because, you know, those are things that maybe with hydration, conditioning, you could do a better job to prepare your players. But when a guy, for example, like Odell Beckham breaks his ankle, you can't prepare for that. Those freak injuries are going to happen. It's not as if, you know, the Giants are unlucky. That's just how
Brandon Marshall,
bounces.
The other one, broke his ankle.
Correct. There you go. Sterling Shepard, an ankle injury. I mean, what do you expect the team to do to put themselves in a position to prevent that from happening?
It drives organizations crazy. It drives strength coach and medical staff and trainers crazy because there is no perfect formula for it, and they continue to try to find it. They try to bring in new strength coaches. They try to change up – Ben McAdoo tried to change up the schedule differently. You know, they practice on Saturday to have that spa day on Friday, and whatever it is, they're always searching for – because injuries ruin guys' careers and they ruin seasons. They really do, but there's nothing you can do about them.
Yep, absolutely. And before I forget, Mr. Fiegels, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I made the deal last week. Now I get to speak to you. That's awesome. That's why I love this.
Absolutely. Well, we're here for you.
But here are the 2 points I want to make, and I want to give some harsh love to my fellow Giants fanatics out there. Guys. Now, first with Gettleman, I'm down here in the South. I'm surrounded by Panthers fans, mostly Redskins, but a lot of Panthers fans. I'm just saying that with Gettleman, he is known for not paying. He is a hard-nosed businessman when it comes to salaries. Now, there's pluses in that and there's minuses. I'm just letting people know that is the word in the South about Gettleman. So we have Odell's coming up. We have Landon's coming up. I'm just letting you know. Now, if Ernie Accorsi picks him, I love Ernie Accorsi. I wouldn't mind if he nominated himself, but I'm just letting you know that's the word on Gettleman down here. And my second point, and this is most important, the Giants know how to run it. The owner owns, and then he let the manager, the general manager, make the play, the calls on personnel. I do not want the owner talking about, I think Eli should be here next year. I do not want the interim GM talking about, I think Eli has 2-3 years. No, no, no. Bring in a GM. If that GM decides to release and bring in a new QB, then we move on. Fans are calling up talking about if Eli goes, I'm not coming back. Are you crazy? That is not how we do business.
No,
let's,
it's not.
We bring in a new GM and let that GM decide who the quarterback is going to be. And this isn't a knock on Manning, but he's 37, and his contract is extremely expensive. There's just no getting around that. So look, I am all about Manning. I am the biggest Hall of Fame cheerleader for him. But he makes a ton of money. His contract has been a millstone around our salary cap for a while. And let me tell you about Dave Gettleman. He is not going to see him making $23 million or whatever it is a year and be like, oh, okay. I'm letting you know that now for people are telling me. So if the new GM wants to go with a new quarterback, stop with all the nonsense about not watching, not supporting. Come on. And that's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
All right, Tony. Appreciate the phone
I think
call.
I think that what you're hearing from the people that he had mentioned is just when you're asked the question, they answer the question. You know, they could answer it in a way that probably would cause a lot of problems, being said that, no, I don't think he should be back next year. You're not going to say that right now. Okay. You're just basically going to say, we still think he can play, but does the next GM think he can still play? Because he's going to have complete authority to do that. I mean, and the Maras and the Tishes are not going to interfere with that. They're going to give the power to the general manager, and that's why their focus is getting there first, so that they can understand the salary cap, look at the state of the roster now, look at the draft coming up, and how you're going to build through it, and what the future of your team is going to be put on that general manager. And Eli may or may not be a part of it. Okay, that's just going to be up to him. And really, I mean, when you look at Dave Gettleman, there was a lot of talk about when he got fired at the Panthers about not signing Josh Norman back, signing some of the veteran players that he let go, was it didn't sit well with a lot of the fan base and the team. You know, so, I mean, these are just things that I'm not telling you something that didn't happen.
Well, no, I think that's a fair synopsis, Jeff, but what I would throw out is I think the difficult part of any general manager is to know when to part ways with a player.
Sure.
Because the last thing you want to do is keep a guy, and then all of a sudden he's not continuing that same production. So, I mean, I'm going to give you an example, and I'm also from the outside looking
plus,
in.
Plus, I guess, too, it depends on your cap.
Of course.
You know,
and
so.
He inherited, by the way, and this is what people forget, he inherited a horrendous cap situation in Carolina.
He had to dig himself out of the hole.
He had to spend like a year and a half just getting back to healthy levels.
And that's a lot to ask.
Correct.
And you can't go about it without, you know, making somebody mad at you.
Of course, because you have to make difficult decisions because you want to free up cap space. And I think he did a great job in terms of turning things around quickly to get them back to the competitive level that they were used to. Plus, remember, they made a Super Bowl. So let's not forget about that. But,
right. Like,
I'll give you an example. Thomas Davis, for example, there was a lot of chatter, the linebacker for the Panthers, who's done a great job, but he's been plagued by injuries. I mean, how many seasons has he missed because he's torn ligaments in his knee? And there was an issue, I know, about whether or not the Panthers were going to give him a long-term deal. To give a long-term deal to a guy who's 34 years old and has missed multiple seasons.
At a linebacker.
It was the same thing with the John Beeson debate with Carolina and then here with the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, look what happened.
Can you blame
a
front office executive for having doubts about throwing all that money at that guy?
I think that in each case it's different. And I think that, you know, a guy like Josh Norman might have been the one because he was still pretty young.
In his prime, correct.
But I think that he was, you know, becoming a cancer on the team. And I think that his salary was just ridiculous. And they thought that they could, you know, get something for him and whatever. Did they trade him?
No, they gave him the franchise tag, and then they relinquished the franchise tag, and he automatically became a free agent.
That's what
what happened with him. Yeah. Because they didn't get to the point where they worked out a long-term deal, and he went in the draft, Gettleman, because the last few years they've been going on a youth movement on the back end of the secondary, and the guys have actually come to fruition this season. Carolina's defense has really turned the corner last year. Now, part of it is Luke Kuechly's healthy this year. And
Luke Kuechly and Sean Lee, those two guys are just
completely
just
different
insane.
Defenses when those guys are on the field versus when they're not. So
I mean, you look at what happened last week, and I haven't a chance to talk about the game last week because it's Friday, but the fact is Sean Lee comes back from injury, comes into a game, and has 18 freaking tackles. I mean, come on.
That's a typical performance for Sean Lee.
And an interception.
Correct.
Okay.
Off a deflection.
And if there's one guy that's as important to anybody on that team, it's him. I mean, it is unreal the caliber of a player he is. Luke Kuechly is the other part of this, the Panthers team. Same thing, you know? And when we talk about this, the Eagles team, you know, do they have that impact? I think Fletcher Cox is probably the guy on defense. When you talk about, you know, the name and what's really important to them, and then maybe Jason Peters offensively, their offensive lineman. But I mean, that team is built on some guys that are just, you know, they're good personnel. They're guys that come to work every day. It's really a good football team. I hate to say this because they're just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just calling it spade a spade. I mean, they are 11-2 for a reason. And it's going to be a tough game for the Giants this weekend. Really tough.
The other thing I wanted to throw out before we get back to the phone lines that the last caller picked up on is the fact that the new GM, I think it goes without saying, is ultimately going
to
make a decision in terms of Eli Manning's future personnel. But when you hear Kevin Abrams weigh in and you hear John Mara weigh in, they're entitled to give their opinions if they're asked those questions. So, and I'm not reinterpreting.
And that's kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
before.
I mean, I don't think there's a crime if a reporter walks up to Kevin Abrams and says, "What do you think of Eli Manning?" He's in the position of interim GM right now. He's entitled to give his opinion. That doesn't mean that whoever the new GM is, if it is him, that all of a sudden that's going to be what they follow through with. It's just right now they're asked a question on the spot. They give their opinion. I don't necessarily think that sets the direction of the franchise come once January and February rolls around. And that's what I think people need to take a step back. Don't bite on to every word that is said right now within the court of public opinion when it's just a matter of somebody giving their opinion at this point. And there's a lot of evaluations that are going to have to take place in the next 3 or 4 weeks once the offseason comes around. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. Nick is in Bridgewater. Nick, what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
Same to
you, too.
Nick. What do you got for us?
Okay, so a couple points. The first thing is we've talked about in the last 8 weeks, a bunch of fans have called and said, play the kid, play Webb, and talked about we need to get back to Giants culture. So the first point I'm going to make is the Giants culture is to try to win every game that we play, not to sit play guys just for a sake to play guys. We want to try and win every game. And the best chance to do that is to play Eli Manning. And I'm tired of hearing everybody say play Webb just for a sake to play Webb. With only one or two games left, we have no line. We have 5th and 6th receivers out there. What are you possibly going to see?
Nothing. You know what you're going to see? I'll tell you what you would see. You would see certain instances of the game that you would want to evaluate. And still, you would be limited because of what you just said. One of them would be, and it's almost like a preseason game. God, going into this game, we want to see get a two-minute offense run in there. So we want to see Webb if he can handle a two-minute drive. Okay, so, all right, great. You get to see a two-minute drive, okay? But are you going to throw Davis Webb against the best defenses in the league and go out and try to think you're going to win a football game? Your best chances to win a game, if that's your philosophy, is with number 10, period, okay? If the game gets out of hand, I mean, it really gets out of hand, and I will tell you, this game has a propensity to get really out of hand, okay? You're going to see Geno Smith. He's the number 2 guy.
Correct. Davis Webb hasn't been active yet.
Okay, but maybe they pull something. You know, just because somebody says something on Wednesday or Thursday doesn't mean they can't change their mind on Sunday at 11:30 when we get the inactive report. Is it 11:30?
Yeah,
11:30.
Right on the mark.
You know, so maybe they come back and say, you know what, we're going to make Davis Webb active just in case. You know, and then you could throw him in there, but not start him. I agree with you. Good point, Nick. You still there, Nick?
So, yeah, okay. I'm here. I got one other point.
Sure.
And it goes against the draft, if you guys don't mind, real quick.
Yeah, sure. Real quick, what do you got?
So, the last caller mentioned, you know, the new GM and the head coach and Eli's future and whatnot. My opinion, if I'm a new GM, and then by watching all these games this year, knowing how many holes we got, knowing that pretty much my entire line are free agents, I have two DNs that we paid a lot of money to, but they can't seem healthy, and they can't get to the quarterback. And we got Brandon Marshall, who's up for his contract. I want, like Paul, to trade back to get quality more players, knowing that I have a Hall of Fame quarterback that can play another 2 or 3 years. Eli still has his game. It was the system that was broken that didn't fit him. He can still throw the long ball, and I think fans need to ease up on Eli, because if you watch the games, you can see what can happen. It's clear as day.
Well, I've said this on multiple occasions too, Nick, and appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Nick.
There is value in moving down if they're not sold on any of the quarterbacks that would be available when they are ready to select. I think that if you're going to take a quarterback that high, you have to have everybody within the organization, Jeff, pretty much on the same page, saying this is the guy we want, this is somebody we envision coming in and running our system. If that's not the case, then I don't think there's any crime in dangling it out there to see if you can move down. You still may have an opportunity to grab a quarterback like a Baker Mayfield and address other positions, because you would assume you're going to get additional picks along the way.
It goes with the philosophy of the new brass that's coming in here.
Yeah.
The GM and the coach. Who is going to be the coach? Is he going to be an offensive coach? Is he going to be a defensive coach?
I think we got the dial tone on there. May just want to hang up on the phone line. May have lost Nick in the process. There we go.
That's what it comes down to. So, you know, this new GM, whoever it is, may say, you know what? I think it's time to move on as an organization. I look at the quarterbacks that are coming out next year, and I look at the quarterbacks coming out this year. We have an opportunity to improve our roster and get a guy that we can be with for a long time. Then we're going to go that route. And that's when the discussion with Eli Manning comes up. Or they say, you know what, we're okay with Eli Manning for 2 more years. Here's his cap number. Maybe we ask him to renegotiate his contract. We free up some cap money. We trade down in the draft, collect some draft picks. It's all about philosophy. We don't have the answers. I know that. I don't have the answers. You don't have the answers. No one has the answers until that GM comes in and you find out what type of a person and what type of philosophy he wants within the organization. But I agree with you, Lance. If you are going to go down the road with the quarterback, everybody's going to have to be on that same page. And there's not going to be one person that's going to say, you know what, because you don't want that one person back there going, I told you so. I told you so. You know?
That we shouldn't reach for this
guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't got into breaking down these quarterbacks other than the fact that we read about them and listen to the Mach 1 drafts are out.
Of course. Well, they've been out for weeks, it seems. But then again, I mean, we don't even know what quarterbacks are going to be out there. Is Sam Darnold going to stay in school? What about Josh Rosen? I mean, who knows how this is going to play out?
Yeah, and I think both of those guys are going to – I think they're going to come into the NFL draft. I mean, there's just so much to – I don't know. There's so much money involved in this and the risk that you take. Now, you can go buy an insurance policy that would pay you what you're going to make the first year in the National Football League. It's going to be a very expensive policy, but who's paying for that? He doesn't have an agent if he comes back into college.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to pay for that, his parents or whatever. I don't know, but there is a lot of risk. I got to believe that if you're one of those two quarterbacks and you are slotted to go the 1, 2, or 3 pick in the draft, I mean, you're not turning, you know, what could be $30 million down. There's no way.
Plus, if the Giants are high in terms of the draft, does that make it more appealing to want to come out?
There's no question.
These organizations are not picking this high.
And I got to think that if you're one of those quarterbacks, there's people that are talking to you about, by the way, you know, we're 3 weeks away from knowing the draft order here. And, you know, you got to know that if you are going to go in the New York market, you better have some thick skin.
Oh, yeah.
And you better be able to understand that this is not Los Angeles, or this is not, you know, some small town where there's only 2 or 3 beat writers in the locker room. I mean, these guys do press conferences. They're 5 deep, you know. And then there's Lance in the back.
That's correct. Trying to jump over to see it. Yes, exactly. He knows the layout of the land. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. One other thing I wanted to throw out about the quarterback discussion, we also don't know what the new general manager is going to think of Davis Webb.
Well, that's a good point, and I think that's what a lot of people are trying to understand. But you know what? That's why they're saying, can't you play Davis Webb? Can you play Davis Webb? Can you play him? Most likely – the GM that they're going to hire knows about Davis Webb because he's been in the league.
And probably
he was only a year out of,
exactly.
out of college.
Yeah.
So, you know, they did their homework looking at those guys. Well, they should have done their homework. But I will tell you that there's no GM in the world that can give you an assessment of Davis Webb running scout team quarterback during practice. You got to have him in the game. You got to have him in pressure situations. What can he do in pressure third down situations? A 2-minute drive, you know, taking it from looking at a card on the field where they say, "Hey, Davis, you're going to run this play because this is what the Eagles run," to having a green dot on the back of your helmet and listening to Mike Sullivan calling the play, getting up to the line of scrimmage, changing the protection, changing the play, making hand signals. And by the way, you're doing that within 40 seconds. That's what you have to see, and you may not see it. You may not see it. You might see it this week if he's active. I don't know if he will be, but I'm just telling
you. Well, and at least based on what Spags indicated, he said he's still going to be the third quarterback. You mentioned, listen, things could change leading up to
Sunday.
Being
the third quarterback, he'll still could be that, you know, we're going to activate him, and he's going to be in a uniform. You never know.
Very possible. It's just I think with all the injuries, I don't think
that's
they can
tough.
Afford to dress yeah. three quarterbacks.
Which
that's the big thing.
Kind of brings
right
you
now.
To the discussion, which we don't have enough time to really go into this. But, you know, if this roster was a little bit healthier, would you see number three as active?
I think that changes the conversation.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it at least gives them consideration to perhaps think about dressing him.
That's
under the
probably a better word, consideration.
Yeah, I mean, because right now, if you're looking, there have been weeks where, you know, they had two or three offensive linemen.
Well, just start with
up,
the linebackers.
The linebackers is another one. So if you're now trying to dress 46 and you have the choice between taking on an extra two linebackers or a quarterback that you know realistically is not going to play, he's going to be holding a clipboard. I mean, I understand it'd make the fans feel good about him putting on a uniform, but he's three or four plays away from getting in the game. The linebacker is the blink of an eye away from
yeah,
getting in the game.
Yeah.
From a coaching standpoint, common sense has to take over there.
Well, logic is a big part of football. A lot of times it's not utilized.
Well, of course, and there's multiple examples, but I can't fault a coach for saying I've got to dress the extra linebacker right now as opposed to yeah. appeasing to the court of public opinion and putting the third
which
quarterback
out there. Which also brings you to, you know, you have a healthy Eli Apple that's sitting on the sidelines inactive when, you know, he could be – it's just there's a lot of different things that
different
are going,
dynamics
absolutely.
That go into play. Yeah. One other thing I wanted to throw out before we head back to the phone lines related to this whole GM evaluation period – no matter who they bring in, Jeff, whether it be somebody from the outside or even Kevin Abrams, all of these individuals had their own evaluations of players.
Correct.
Especially since they've been in the NFL. So they have a notebook. They have their draft evaluations. They have their free agent evaluations. And that includes players currently on the roster, too. They may look at some guys on the roster completely different than how certain people in this building have already.
I promise you they do. It's just like any other team. Just like the personnel from the organizational in the personnel department from the GM to whatever to the scouts, their evaluation is just as different as somebody else's on another team coming in looking at these players. It's still the same thing. They're all different. Like I just heard on the radio the other day that Mel Kiper and who's the other guy?
Todd McShay.
McShay. Okay, so the two quarterbacks. Okay, one of them's got. Rosen going in one of the quarterbacks has got going in the top five. The other one's got him down at 11 or 12. I mean, seriously? So there's just goes to show you that the evaluation and what I say or what you say about a player, it all comes down to when you are on the clock to make that pick, you better be ready to do it, and everybody better be on the same page if it's going to be a quarterback.
Of course, it has to be. I mean, if you've got fluctuation in terms of opinions, that to me is a red flag right there. And it's more of a reason why you should either go in a different direction or consider your options and moving down.
And we haven't began to look at the draft, and we always do a good job here on BBK, at least Lance and the other guys do an exceptional job. I won't do the greatest job at it, but I will tell you that you know, when you start looking at the draft, we have to start looking at other positions other than the quarterback at needs of this team. And immediately my ears and eyes go right to the offensive line, looking at the offensive linemen coming out of the draft. And I don't know how many. I know they got a couple guys over there in Notre Dame, two All-Americans that came out of there this year. You know, I don't know, other than that, who these other big stud linemen are. But, you know, every year is different. Sometimes there's a run of, you know, four, five, six, seven linemen. Some years there's not. Last year was one of them, you know. So we'll see what happens this year.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Lance Meadow, Jeff Fiegels with you here. Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Pete is on Staten Island. Pete, what's happening?
Hi, Pete.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good. Hello, Pete. What do you got for us?
Yesterday, I was actually on the phone with Russ and Paulie Dotz, and
sounds like a restaurant.
we had a misunderstanding because we were talking about Odell Beckham, and we were talking about, you know, I would love to see the Giants go forward, getting back to what our former identity was, being a Northeast team, smash mouth, that kind of thing, as opposed to the flying trapeze act of the NFL that we have today. Fantasy numbers and, you know, throwing 5-yard passes and then running to the end zone for 70. And I brought up Odell. And my reasoning there, and it had nothing to do with his antics and everything else, what it had to do with picks and what we can get for Odell. Now, I know what Odell's all about, all right? However, you know, as far as a player, you know, we know how multi-talented he is. But if you think about it, going back, if Babe Ruth could be traded, Odell Beckham could be traded.
Well, he could be traded, but he's, yeah. You know, remember,
you know
this,
I mean?
He's hurt.
And what I mean by this is that look at the Herschel Walker trade. What Dallas made there, where they, how many picks did they get?
Yeah, but keep in mind, Pete.
The Ricky Williams,
I think they
Pete,
got all of them.
Yeah, Pete.
With New Orleans.
Well, but Pete,
what kind
Pete,
of sickness
Pete,
came out
Pete,
of that?
Keep in mind, though, you're going based on the results of what they got from that deal. You know, we're talking mm-hmm. about Emmitt Smith. We're talking about Russell Maryland. We're talking about guys that panned out. When you don't know before you make the deal, you're going into the land of the unknown. If you don't know what you're going to get out of that, it's still a guessing game. There's no guarantee you're going to walk away with what the Cowboys did in return for Herschel Walker. So, I mean,
oh, without question. You know,
can't
I
just
can't
assume,
deny that.
Yeah,
you, know,
you can't
at
assume
all.
That's going to happen.
Okay, it's a crapshoot when you go into the draft. We all know that. No, you know, nobody's guaranteed. Okay? You know, however, the way I look at it is we have the number one pick, top five pick, let's say, right now. I'd say that's a definite lock. Now, remember also, we're going to have to pay Odell. At some point, he's going to get paid and want his money. And that becomes a salary cap issue down the road.
Well, he wants to be the highest paid in the league. So,
yeah. Pardon me?
He wants to be the highest paid player in the league.
Without question. So my thinking is, if we won our, and I asked Russ, I said, Russ, we had four championships. Name one Odell Beckham Jr. that we had on the roster in any of those championships. And you can't answer with one because
Pete,
you know there wasn't a talent like that.
Well, but Pete, also, but, you know, the game has changed and evolved too. I know the 2011 team is relevant to today's NFL, but those other Super Bowls in the 90s, the game has tremendously changed. So it's hard to make that comparison.
But if you build from the inside out, from your line out, and it's not only the line, okay? We have problems at linebacker. There's a lot more holes in this team than we're letting on. We got problems at linebacker. We got
I don't know about letting them on. I think we know about all the holes.
We don't know what's going to happen with Eli. We don't know this yet. We don't know what's up with David Webb, Davis Webb. And I'm thinking going forward, if we can get, let's say, for instance, just to throw it out there, a number one pick. Now, this is from a lower echelon team. Let's say, you know, Cleveland, okay? A number one pick, a number two pick, and an offensive lineman to boot, a starting offensive lineman that they might have on their roster.
I highly doubt
you. I would do that in a minute.
Well, listen,
I
mean, it's nice wishful thinking, Pete. I don't think teams are going to be having the urge to give up starting offensive linemen. I think, if anything, maybe you get draft picks. If you want to use anything as a comparison and appreciate the phone call, you can look at the Saints, how they ship Brandon Cooks to the Patriots. I mean, that would be something that I would look at, you know, if you want to play that hypothetical, speculative area of football, not getting, you know, two legitimate starters who are well-established. And, you know, the other thing, the way that I look at it, Jeff, is if you're going to part ways with a guy like that, you know, you've got to have, number one, a long-term plan in place that you know what you want to get out of a trade
like
that.
It's called rebuild.
Correct, exactly. And you have to have everybody buying into that direction from the organization, top down. And, you know, I think we're really getting ahead of ourselves because let's not forget, they have to also look at the fact that when Odell Beckham's on the field, they at least have some semblance of production in the passing game. When you take Odell Beckham out of the equation, what happened to the passing game, Jeff? So if you're now going to trade him, you now have to think about, well, now we're going to go back to what we're seeing right now, which is having a hard time to convert third downs and move the chains.
Well, you have no depth that was at that position anyways. I mean, let's call it, just be honest with ourselves. Brandon Marshall is past his time. He's coming off of an injury that put him on injured reserve. You don't know if he's going to be back or not next year. Okay, you got Sterling Shepard, and when you look at the younger receivers, okay, so but you know, you can talk about Roger Lewis. Okay, but Roger Lewis is you know, Roger Lewis was the fourth, fifth receiver on this team before the injuries. Okay, Tavares King didn't even make the roster. And who are the other guys that are out there? I mean, you really have to kind of think about that. If you're going to trade your guy, like you said, then you better make sure that you're going to go out and get some other people that aren't going to be as good as him, but your depth has going to be improved. But you also have to improve your depth on other positions that are more important to me. Linemen, yeah. Defensive linemen, offensive linemen, linebackers, you know, corners, all that kind of stuff.
It's a very tough situation to be put in when you want to part ways with somebody like
and
that.
I think
because
that,
there's pros and cons
I
easily
think
that you can list.
You have to understand what the next GM is walking into. It's a great opportunity for who it is because of the organization. But this team is a mess. There's a lot of stuff that has to be done. And this is not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy. Now, this roster does have some players on it that will – this isn't a Cleveland Browns that you're walking into that hasn't won games. Okay, this team just a year removed has just won 11 games last year. You have a defense that was $200 million was spent on it a year ago. So there is going to be some residuals of some good players. But this next GM has got a tough decision to make. You got to check the box with Eli Manning whether you're going to keep him or not.
Quarterback.
You got to talk about that. You got to talk about the draft. You got to find a coach. You got to find a new staff. And you got – I mean, this is a lot of work.
You've got Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg as free agents. You have to make decisions there.
Yes.
So it's not just the quarterback. It's the offensive line. Beckham will be entering a key critical offseason in terms of if you want to extend his contract, you want to give him an extension. So,
right. Yeah,
you're 100% right, Jeff. I mean, there's
and you
so
got
many things that
and
have to
And the other
be
thing that besides the football part of it is that the GM is, you know, his eye on the organization is to start to restore the brand, to restore some of that Giant pride and to just restore what New York Giants football is all about because it's been crushed. It's been stomped on, and now it has to be revitalized. And it shouldn't take much because of who they are. That NY on the Giants helmet, it was the Giants last week, by the way. That was pretty sweet.
Yes,
I liked
it was
those.
Old school.
It did bring
right.
me back to the like way
well,
back.
Wore
when
white
I was,
uniforms
yes,
at home for the
yeah.
first time in forever.
It was really weird. But I think that GM has to understand that, you know, one, not only is your job going to be to do all the things that I mentioned, but you know, the Giant brand has got to be brought back, and people want to be proud of that brand again. Players want to be proud of it, and the season ticket holders and fans want to be proud to go to those games again and see a product that this new GM is going to put on the field that they can be proud of.
I'm looking back at the Brandon Cooks trade. Just
okay.
in terms of what was given up.
And by the way, I'm very impressed at Lance Meadow because he's always able to bring this stuff up. This would have taken me 30 minutes to find this. I'm serious.
Well, we try to help to provide the information.
And it's not like you're 21 years old.
No,
I would say that most like millennials would be like to be able to do that very quickly. But
yes.
I'm going to be 52 in March.
Well, you don't want
to
date yourself
and
in the program.
And I just – it's just amazing to me how fast – like, we'll be in the living room, and my wife will say something, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the kids will have the answer, like, within seconds. And I'll be over there like this.
You're still scrolling down, or you're typing in your password
I'm still trying
to unlock your phone.
I'm still trying to find either go on Safari or Firefox or Google or Chrome, whatever.
By that
time, it's just it's over.
It's over because they already had it in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so back to you found some information on the Cooks trade.
So the Patriots sent New Orleans a 2017 third-round selection. They also, in exchange for the Saints' fourth-round pick. So they got Brandon Cooks, the Patriots, and a fourth-rounder for the 32nd overall pick, which was a first-round pick, and also a third-round selection.
Okay.
So a first and a third is basically –
So going back to what the gentleman was saying, he wanted a first, a second, and a lineman.
An offensive lineman, yeah, was what the caller was throwing out. That I don't think is very realistic.
And
two
the
picks,
and,
I think,
and
is
the other team is going to have the headache – of dealing with a lot of problems. That's right. I mean, listen, it happened in this game beginning of the year. You know what I'm talking about. The other thing is that they have to now have a he's going to have a new contract soon. That's going to be a
big
number.
Well, and that other team that acquires him, that's a great point. I mean, they're not going to want to acquire him for a rental. They're going
to
want
to
have some security that whatever they're giving up. So that would also be a part of it, too. There's a lot of different things. It's not so simple where you're like, all right, we want to part ways with the guy. Sure.
Well, we're not playing fantasy football here. We're trading stuff. This is real dollars. This makes real sense. It has to do with people's jobs. Because when this something happens like this and it doesn't work out, that's when people lose their jobs, unfortunately.
And this is a franchise player we're talking about. This is not
talking,
somebody
yes.
that just comes in every single year that you replace.
You're talking about a guy that if it goes to another team that, you know, immediately he will shoot up the board in jersey sales, that kind of thing.
It's a once-in-a-generational type of player.
Sure. And does he have the skills? There's no question about it. There's no question in my mind that when he's healthy, he is the most dynamic player on the field. Next to, you know, guys like Tom Brady and some of the other, but not very many, can outplay him when he's healthy.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Maurice is in Montclair. Maurice, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
How are you, Maurice? What do you got for us?
Not so much. I just want to be quick. I kind of haven't called in a while, but I just want to speak on the offensive side of the ball for a second. Like going back to what Jeff just alluded to, this team has so many holes, and being the fact that we have so many critical decisions to come, I just want to throw this out here real quick and get you guys' quick thoughts, and then I'll finish my point.
Okay.
Eli Manning, we all know, is getting older. But to be honest, gentlemen, I haven't watched a game to where I really cringed and said, oh, man, Eli, he's falling off. Like, I haven't had that moment yet. Now, this has been a time and the moment that I've dreaded, like, for a while, is when Eli's kind of on his departure. But if I can be honest in my own opinion, I think fans and certain people that speculate on the matter of Eli Manning jumps to a quick conclusion to just get rid of him, and I don't think that's the case. This new GM that might come in here, he has to understand that Eli has set the bar high in both production, big game play, and if you're going to take a quarterback, character and integrity and all that good stuff. So what are you guys' quick thoughts on that point?
Well, listen, I have always said this. It's the crossroads that the organization is facing right now, Maurice, because what you're pointing to is if the new GM comes in, he has to take into consideration the respect factor about what the player already did, the face of the franchise, Eli Manning. But at the same time, he also has to have a big picture perspective on what he wants to do long term. So if one stops him from doing the other, you know, you're putting that general manager in a very tough spot. I don't think you could put any executive in a position where we don't want you to get strained from doing what's good for the long-term viability of the franchise, but at the same time, make sure you take care of the guy that's been here for the 14 years before you even came. I mean, you can't put your executive in a tough spot like that. So, I mean, I get your point, Maurice, that you want to honor guys that have meant so much for the organization, but at the same time, that general manager is ready to move on. I think you need to hear him out and see what his long-term plan is. You have to.
Yeah,
you have to be open that way.
No, I understand that. I understand that totally, and I understand exactly your point in that. But my thing is, like, you know, the NFL, everyone just can't come into this business and transition like they did in college to the pros. Now, my thing is, like, what I first alluded to in the beginning, I haven't seen that moment or that play from Eli that's just telling me that he's falling off. So, in my opinion, yeah, you know what, Eli, maybe we can restructure to get some money freed up. But if this team has so many holes as it does. Now, I'm not saying not to take a quarterback, but my thing is, as soon as Eli, if they do take a quarterback and Eli does play 2018, as soon as he throws his first interception, Twitter's going to be like, all right, put Donald in, put Rosen in, put Mayfield in, put anybody in. And it's just unfair because bad plays are going to happen. But I think that, you know, if this team was actually managed right and managed properly and we did have, let's just say, a 9-7, even an 8-8 season, I don't think the call for Eli's job would be so high because I still think the guy can play. Now, if you want to think and have some ideas for the future, I'm fine with that. But, you know, from the past regime that was just here, it's mismanaged this team so bad. You know, now it's just like, you know, is winning now even a priority, or is he just like, you know, let's just turn to the new era because it's a whole new turnover. So, you know, I mean, you guys can elaborate on that, and thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Bruce. Appreciate the phone call.
Well, it always goes back to what we were talking about. It's really – we can't. It's hard to comment on it because we don't know the philosophy of what's coming in here. And I think the first thing that this GM is going to do is he's going to evaluate the roster and understand the guys that he's going to want back on here. And of these 53 guys, you know, you got X amount that these are the guys with the numbers, the caps. These are the way who we want to keep. This is the nucleus of our team, and then build from that point on. And then you start talking about the quarterback, and it just kind of just goes and goes. And then that kind of the way you build that will take you to the next step in hiring a coach, and then all of a sudden evaluating your free agents on your own team first, and then reevaluating the free agents in the market, because you've already made a decision which ones you're going to keep and which ones you're not by tendering guys and blah, 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 and then just moving into the draft. So there's a slow build so that by the time you get to the draft, that philosophy will be organized to enough that maybe it isn't the quarterback you want to take because you feel that Eli's going to redo his deal to free up some spats from cap space because we can go get a free agent offensive lineman or maybe two and not have to because the draft we're not thinking is great. It's just a lot of stuff to talk about.
And, you know, you're 100% right. Until you know what the philosophy of the new general manager is, you know, everything is speculation. I mean, listen, is it feasible to what the last caller pointed out, Jeff, that the new GM comes in and says, you know what, I still think Eli Manning's productive, but at the same time, I want to make it clear to him that we're going to put a transitional phase in place, meaning we want you to mentor who we think is going to be your successor. That doesn't mean we're taking you away from the starter position,
but
we just want you to be open-minded that in a year we may move on. And here's the other part of the equation, Jeff, that we haven't brought up. What's Eli Manning thinking?
Well,
you know,
though,
everybody talks about it from the Giants side. Yeah. We don't know what Eli Manning
wants to do.
The only
thing we do know is that he wants to play.
He could, because he said that. He said he wants to play in 2018. He doesn't want to retire. He was asked about that after a recent game. But does that mean that he's 100% content with staying here? Does he want to explore other options? Are the Giants going to be flexible in allowing him out of his contract? We don't know that. I mean, you have to take that into consideration.
We're not going to know that.
You can't just look at it, well, what are the Giants going to do? Well, remember, you know, it takes two to tango, as I like to say. They got to meet halfway.
Yep.
If both parties stay on opposite ends of the direction, then of course it's not going to work.
So we didn't have time to do this, but maybe we do. I really thought this was kind of funny.
Well, we could throw it in.
All right, so I went back and looked at our over-under fact-fiction thing for the first week against the Eagles.
Oh, for the first week against
the
Eagles.
First week.
So week three,
just
our competition. Okay, you
and
went
I,
back.
And I thought it was actually very funny that if you were to go down here, we could pretty much say I'll probably be 100% on these, okay?
No doubt. You're talking about.
Well, the Giants will have more sacks than the Eagles.
I think you go fiction on that one.
Okay. All right. Odell Beckham, who is in it, actually, will lead all players from scrimmage.
Well, it's hard to take that into consideration.
Maybe if we put another receiver in there, that would be fiction.
I think we'd go fiction on that, too.
The Giants will rush for more yards than the Eagles.
I think we'll go fiction there as well.
The Giants will score 20 points.
Boy.
Carson Wentz will throw for 300.
Well, this is the over-under section,
this is
right?
This is the over-under.
Okay.
Carson Wentz will throw for 300.
Well, he's out of it.
But if he was in the game, I think that I would take the over on that one.
I think you'd feel good about that.
And then the Zach Ertz will have 80 receiving yards.
And I think most people would feel good about that.
So it just goes to show you how a team can go from when we first debated these were probably ones that we had to think a little bit about.
Well, because the makeup of the teams were so different at that point.
It's just amazing how one team has went this way and the other one has
completely
gone
opposite. I mean, what, the Eagles went on a 9-game winning streak. If you go back to what happened since that 61-yard field goal by Jake Elliott.
Which to me is just unbelievable that happened. Now, the Giants went out and scored 20-something points in the fourth quarter.
That was by far one of their best offensive performances. And like you said, it took one quarter to do it.
It took one quarter.
The first three quarters were not necessarily the case.
But for them to lose that game the way they did was the start of something not good.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to throw out, Ronald Darby and Rodney McLeod, two of the starting four secondary players, did not take part in that Week 3 game. Philly's going to have them both back in the mix in this game. So that's something that also can't be overlooked. It's going to be a tough challenge for the Giants no matter what, but just thought that I'd throw out the personnel for the secondary was not 100% for Philadelphia at that time.
We hope there are a lot of Giants fans can show up at the game this weekend. Want to see everybody out there. So
yes.
We'll go see them.
Well, and we will be on the MetLife Central stage doing our pregame show. Correct, freezing, bundled up, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Our pregame show starts. You can hear it on WFAN as well as Giants.com. So I'll have all the latest as we set the table for the Giants and the Eagles. And Big Blue Kickoff Live will be up and running again on Monday as we'll recap the game and look ahead to the Cardinals matchup the following weekend. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest team news. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the weekend. We'll speak to you on Monday right here on Giants.com. Have a good one.